Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you agree with me that it's not very hard to believe God's promises and endure life when things are going well? But when things appear as if God is remaining distant from us, or has abandoned us, or that His saving action is not apparent or completely obvious, when things get much more difficult, it is hard to trust. It's hard to believe His promises, and it is also hard to endure life. Fellow redeemed in Christ, we do well to consider some additional texts along with our Old Testament lesson. If we wish to revel in the joy that God intends for us to have as His redeemed children living in this fallen world. One text I want you to kind of have imprinted on your mind is what the Lord inspired St. Peter to write in his first epistle. The word of the Lord endures how long? Forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. It is unchanging, and the Lord's redeemed should humbly and passionately cry out in response to that truth, thanks be to God. For God's word is what we desperately need to hear in the face of all the chaotic, illogical, hate-filled rantings and ravings of those who are moving to more openly reject and attack God's sacred word of truth, as well as openly attack those who profess and cling to it. It is the Lord who has brought you to saving faith in Christ Jesus for this very time and place. It is He who has called you to resolutely and tenaciously cling to His inerrant and inspired word. In other words, to not succumb to the siren songs of the world that is under the influence of the devil. You may look around you and think, well, I don't see the devil. I don't perceive the devil. But all you need do is listen to what the majority of the world happens to say about Christ. Our Lord inspired Isaiah earlier in this book to warn His people, saying, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Is that not what seems to be happening day after day? People who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You see, the world needs to hear Christ's clarion call. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Believe His unchanging word. Believe His word that endures forever. He who has ears, let him hear. Now from our text, His promise is that just as the rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return there without accomplishing His desire for those things, to water the earth, to make it bear and sprout, to furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Fellow redeemed, that word will not return to Him empty. That word, whether we realize it or not, accomplishes what He desires and succeeds in the matters for which He sends it. This is so because the word of the Lord endures forever. It is God's word. Now that truth is what will comfort you when things appear as if God is remaining distant from you, when chaos reigns and you are on the receiving end of the illogical, hate-filled rantings and ravings of the world. It is His everlasting word that sustains you because it is the Spirit that uses that word to sustain you, just as He did with people like Noah and his family. When God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intention of his thoughts and of his heart were only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him to His heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And later, when Lot and Abraham were surrounded by unbelieving hordes of idolaters and the sexually immoral, the Lord sustained and guided them by His enduring word. He used it to protect those during the early church and again during the Reformation era. And even today across the world where the faithful are being persecuted, tortured, and put to death solely because of their belief and trust in Jesus Christ. And from the setting or context of our Old Testament lesson, we see that God is once again intervening with His enduring word to sustain Isaiah and the remnant during their captivity in the midst of the oppression that they face while being slaves in Babylon. Now, it must have appeared as an impossible situation, but the Lord demonstrated that nothing is impossible for Him who created and sustains all things by His word. Now, sadly, in our day, it seems as if few people believe that. And no matter how bleak things may appear, He has called us to steadfastly contend for His word and to cling to His promises. Holy Scripture is to be the sole rule and norm of Christian teaching and our conduct in this fallen world. It is the enduring word of God that demolishes arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And so, we must take captive our every thought, making it obedient to Christ, making it obedient to His word. But let me warn you, as you submit to that word's authority, as you take captive your every thought, and you allow then that word to permeate you and indeed come out of your mouth in the lives of others, that word is not very popular. That you will be on the receiving end of vitriol and hatred. But the Lord Christ declares, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Abide in his word, and that truth shall make you free. You see, the word of God is the word made flesh in Christ. And we are to digest His word. We thus take Jesus into ourselves. That's why our collect had inwardly digest as a part of it. We read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest that word. And likewise, as we share that word that does not return to Him void, we share Christ with those living around us. This is why God's under-shepherds are to preach and teach the word always. For by doing so, our Lord preaches, teaches, and works through His words to the ends of the earth, bringing some to faith where and when He wills. We are simply His instruments. It is the enduring word. It is God's divine utterance to the world wherein He reveals Himself to fallen mankind. It's not a matter of us arguing people into faith. That's the Spirit's work of bringing people to faith. Our task, cast the seed. And know that that seed is going to fall on different types of ground, so to speak. But what does He promise? What does He promise and what promise is kept by God? It does not return to Him empty. It will accomplish the purpose for which He sends it. Whether your eyes see that or not. And thanks be to God for that truth. Thanks be to God for that promise, because if it depended upon our eyes witnessing the changes of people's lives, or people coming out of the darkness into the light, we would not be able to endure any day. We would be led to the midst of despair. You see, when we share the word, more often than not, it's snatched away by the evil one. Maybe we have witnessed people receive the Word of God with joy, but since there's little root to it, it only endures for a while. And when trial and tribulation and persecution arise on account of that Word, they fall away. Or because of the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes that Word out. But He promises that some will bring forth fruit. You see, the only way that anyone can know anything about God is from His Word. As much as I would like to think that because I can wax eloquent on many different topics, it's not what I say in the sense of springing from my own heart, my own philosophical, some might say, rantings and ravings, right, Stace? But it's God's Word. It is that Word that accomplishes the purpose for which He sends it. It is the Word that is actively working and indeed going out to the ends of the earth through which the Spirit uses to continue to grow Christ's church or to sustain it, to sustain those who have been brought to faith. But this is why it's so important for us at this time to remain steadfast and faithful. This is why we constantly look to Scripture and defend His doctrine as we reflect Christ's light in this sin-filled dark world. But as we do so, we are the ones who have every reason to go forth in joy and to be led forth in peace. Now, it's easy for us to translate peace or change the context from what He's really talking about. We would very much like to be appreciated by others. We would like other people to look at us and to like us. But more often than not, that's not going to be the case. So the peace that He is speaking of is not necessarily a worldly peace, but an otherworldly peace through Christ. Peace that He has established by virtue of Christ's work upon this earth. Peace that He has established between us and Him. That's the peace that indeed gives us joy, even in the midst of trial and tribulation. And just as it took the Holy Spirit to enable Isaiah and the Israelites to remain steadfast and faithful in their bondage, enabling them to cling to His promises even in the face of captivity, trial, and tribulation, we too must rely upon the Spirit working through the Word as well as His sacraments to enable us to remain faithful, steadfast, and to move us to proclaim His inerrant Word to this fallen world in these latter days. For it is only by that Word that the spiritually dead are drawn into His marvelous light and given eternal life. Fellow redeemed, people need to hear our Lord. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe. He who has ears, let him hear. Warn them when we must. But it is because it is the loving thing to do. To share God's life-saving Word through which He then snatches those who are headed to an eternity of suffering in hell. But as we share that enduring Word, know this. Just as it has in our lives at different times, when the Lord shares His law and reveals sin, people will be made uncomfortable. Some will reject you. They will scoff at the absolutes of God's Word. And we live in a time when more and more people use their own opinions and feelings as judges. But worse, they use it to judge what they will take of God's Word, rather than allowing the Word of God to judge their opinions and feelings. But He continues to lovingly speak His Word of law, even to us, to reveal our sins so that in humble repentance we may flee for refuge in His enduring gospel promises, and to bathe in the forgiveness that Christ has won for us by His life, death, and resurrection. It is for such a time as this that we need to apply God's enduring Word to ourselves as a means of preparing ourselves for the spiritual battles that rage around us. It is precisely when the sins of others are so great and open and apparent that we need the Lord to reveal our sins of thought, word, and deed, so that we may be effective instruments who will share His word of light in this dark and rapidly dying world. In the midst of a time which can only be described as a time of testing, a time of proving, we must humble ourselves before the Lord who humbled Himself to be born of a virgin, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, to be crucified, to die, and to be buried. He perfectly fulfilled the Father's will in order to work forgiveness for willful sinners like you and me. Were we, being surrounded by evil and an ever-increasing hostility to God and His Word, we've been oftentimes led to doubt, have we not? Our eyes convince us that the church is so weak and little that it can't be anything that God would work or do in our midst. But yet Jesus trusted where we have doubted. When we are tempted to compromise God's word, to be accepted by those around us, to be seen as broad-minded and loving, Jesus lovingly remained unbendingly faithful unto death to pay for such sin. Jesus never, never ignored or excused evil. He died for it, to earn forgiveness and salvation for all who will believe, so that they may be forgiven, redeemed, and restored, that they may live in His presence in righteousness and purity forever. Through His word, delivered by faithful prophets, apostles, and pastors, the Lord calls, "Come unto me, you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." It is He who announces through His word and through His servants, "Your sins are forgiven. I have called you by name. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you will be also." Such promises are spoken by the one who served as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But they're not simply spoken promises. They are fulfilled promises. He speaks kindly and mercifully as the Son of God, who willingly turned His back on heaven's glory to become the Savior of the world. And by this living word, the Holy Spirit then calls, gathers, enlightens lost sinners by word and sacrament, joining them together in one holy Christian apostolic church. By the work of the Spirit in baptism, new and eternal life is given to those who were spiritually dead in their trespasses and sins. They're new creations, created in Christ Jesus. And having been raised from the dead, they delight to walk in newness of life as they daily repent of their sins, but also serve as reflectors of His marvelous light which shines into the darkness that surrounds us. We stand in relation to our Lord's second coming in reality. Just as the people of Israel did to God's promises of return from exile and to the promise of a new covenant in Christ Jesus, we too are longing for the completion of that promise. Like them, we wait. We wait for the completion of the promise in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what was true for them is true for us as well. God's word is powerful. His word is creative. And His word alone is trustworthy and will never fail. Thus we will come into possession of the promised inheritance of a new creation as His redeemed children. And for knowing such promise, we can only say thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.